Hey, good morning to everyone. And thank Rabbi Taubes and the Hanhala and the Rebbeim for allowing me. And I almost have to, after Rabbi Taubes' remarks about the wonderful Torah personalities around Yeshiva, I almost feel like I should apologize that you got stuck with me this morning. But we'll try to share some words that I hope will inspire. And in particular, on a morning like today, where parents and students and grandparents, some people are here with uncles, aunts, mothers, friends, to come together as a community and to learn Torah together is a remarkable thing. And I feel so grateful to have the opportunity to be a part of it for a few moments before I go to teach my regular shiur in the BMP program. And I hope that this will be the beginning of a relationship of coming to yeshiva very often. There's not only opportunities for talmidim here, there are many opportunities for parents to interact with our yeshiva and to interact with the rebbeim of our yeshiva. I want to begin with the Gemara in Maseches Chagiga on Daf Hei. The Gemara in Maseches Chagiga, Daf Hei Amud Beis, describes Harav Idi Avua Derbi Yaakov Bar Idi. Rav Idi, the father of Yaakov Bar Idi, used to travel, have a ruggle that be ozel tlosi yarche ba'urcha v'chad yoma b'beirav. He would travel for many months to spend one morning learning in yeshiva. I can imagine that he did some learning along the way, but it was worth it for him to travel a great distance to spend one day in yeshiva. V'havikari le rabbanan, and the people who came to yeshiva every day would poke fun at him. And they would say about him, Bar Bei Rav Dechad Yoma. Oh look, he's a rabbinic scholar for a day. He's a Ben Yeshiva for a day. Cholash Daite, he was very depressed by that. He felt that if I'm only in Yeshiva for a single day and people recognize I'm an outsider in the Beis Medrash, this is not my normal place of learning. He was feeling very depressed. Kari Anafshe, and he said about himself, Schok L'Re'eyu. Yeah, they made a mockery out of me. They made a joke out of me. As my learning's not worth it because I was only learning for a single day. Amrali Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan said, please have rachmanis on all of the B'nai Yeshiva who are poking fun at you. I don't want that there should be a heavenly punishment issued against them because of their mistreatment of you. And Rav Yochanan came into the Beis Medrash and he gave a clap on the bima. And he said, what does it mean when Yeshaya Navi says, V'osi yom yom yidroshim? What does it mean when Yeshaya Navi says, V'osi yom yom, one day and another day, yidroshim? Says Rabbi Yochanan to the B'nai Yeshiva, Ela lomer lacha yom yom, kol ha'osik b'torah afilu yom echad b'shana. If a person comes to a parent, son, a family day of learning, comes to Yeshiva even one day a year, then it's as if that person was osei kol ha'shana kula. You become a member of the Yeshiva for the entire year. And again, I hope this will be the beginning of the time that you spend here in Yeshiva with your sons, with your grandchildren, with your relatives, to spend time together, learning together, taking advantage of our yeshiva. But a person has to realize the preciousness of a moment in yeshiva, of a single opportunity to come to yeshiva. In our world today, the yeshiva, the safe haven of the yeshiva, is so precious, it's so important, we need to think about that. The great Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, one time gave an address to a group of B'nai Yeshiva, and he was describing to them the following scenario. He said, imagine if a person said to someone else, imagine if I commented you, if I said to you, if you don't eat the finest gourmet food, if you don't eat the finest ma'adonei malachim, Rav Kuttner says, then you're going to die of hunger. So he would say back to me, that's a very strange thing to say. A person has to eat gourmet food to survive. I could eat bread, I could eat, drink water, I could survive off of much simpler fare. What does it mean? If I don't eat ma'adonei malachim, you're not going to be able to survive? And yet Rav Kuttner turned to those Talmidim and he said, but that seems to be what the Torah itself tells us. The Torah itself seems to tell us, Hishamru lachem pen yifta levavcha. The Torah warns us, we say it every day in Kriya Shema, Hishamru lachem, you should guard yourself, you should be so careful. Pen yifta levavcha. If a person strays, if his heart strays, visartem, va'avadetem Elohim achtimim, when you go after foreign gods, what is this visartem, what am I straying from? Rashi comments over there, that a person is poorish min haTorah, umitoch kach, a person who detaches himself from Torah. Va'avadetem Elohim achim. You're going to come to worship idols. Shekev and shaldem poorish min haTorah, holeich umedavek v'avodah zarah. If you're not involved with Torah, you're going to get involved with avodah zarah. Says Rav Kuttner, Torah is the most precious thing in the world. Torah is that gourmet meal. And yet here it seems to say that if I don't choose Torah, I'm going to choose Avodah Zarah. Is there nothing in the middle? Is it one or the other? Is it such an extreme scenario that if I fail to choose Torah, Bisartim, if I step away from Torah, I'm going to the other extreme? I'm going to die of hunger, so to speak, spiritual hunger, but a worship of Avodah Zarah? Very hard to understand. So Rav Hutner, and this is printed in the letters, the Igros himself to the Pachad Yitzchak, in number Ayin Hay, 75. Most of the piece is written in Yiddish, with occasional English words thrown in throughout. And Rav Hutner explains as follows. He said, in physics, we have a concept. In physics, we have a concept that nature abhors a vacuum. In physics, that means that if there's a void, if there's a vacuum, it's going to be filled by something. It has to be filled by something. And Rav Hutner says, half in Yiddish, half in Hebrew, half in English, the neshama of a mention abhors a vacuum. The neshama of a person despises and abhors a vacuum. The neshama of a Jew needs to be filled by something. So says Rav Hutner, the question is, what are we going to fill it with? What are we going to fill it with? If we fill ourselves with Torah, if we can fill that void that every one of us has, that hole inside of our hearts that needs to be filled with something, if we can fill it with meaningful content, with Torah, with Avodas Hashem, then gevaldik. But unfortunately, what Rashi's telling us is if we don't find ways to fill our lives with meaningful Torah content, then unfortunately, yes, it's not at all unusual to go to the other extreme. Va'avadatem Elohim Achim. I'm reminded of a comment that the Chassan Sofer. The Chassan Sofer was the grandson of the Chassam Sofer. It's actually very easy. If you know why he named his Sefer Chatan Sofer, it's easy to remember he's the grandson of Rav Moshe Sofer, the Chassam Sofer. Why? Chatan stands for Chidushei Torah Neched Sofer. The novel Torah insights of the grandson of Sofer. Who's Sofer? Rav Moshe Sofer, the Chassam Sofer, the famous Chassam Sofer. So he writes in Parshas Bereishis. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands, man, Peru Uruvuhu Milu Es Ha'aretz. And it's not only a directive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to produce children, to bring people into this world. But Peru Uruvuhu means to be fruitful in everything that we do. Umilu Es Ha'aretz. There's an Eretz, there's a world, there's a lot of empty space that needs to be filled. And it's our job to Milu Es Ha'aretz, to make sure that we fill the world, again, with meaningful things. What chas v'shalom happens if we're not proactive? Like Rav Hutner is describing, that vacuum that's left unfilled, that Rashi's being meramis to, Rashi's hinting to, what he says, when a person sartem from Lima Torah, he's porish from a Torah, he's automatically going to come to Avodah Zarah. Says the Chassan Sofer, if we're not proactive, if we're not milu es ha'aretz, if we don't fill the aretz, the gashmias, if we don't fill the physical reality with meaningful spiritual content, then unfortunately the opposite can happen. And that's what we find in Shmos in the very beginning. When Klal Yisrael are entering into that Gullus, that dark period of our Jewish history, Gullus Mitzrayim, it says, V'timalei ha'aretz osam, that the aretz filled them. That the artsiest, that the gashmias, the physicality filled them. And that was the first sign. That was the first sign that they were heading into a deep and dark Gullus. Every day of our lives, we have to try to fill our lives with meaningful content. Just yesterday was the yard site of the Piyazat Zerebi. Piyazat Zerebi, Hashem Yimkom Damo, taken at the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. A very great Torah scholar, a great leader, a great Rebbe, a person who gave his heart to Klal Yisrael. People of all ages were attracted to him, a tremendous mind, and a person who understood the human emotions in a very deep way, whose writings still resonate with so many people in the world today. So we have a small diary. It's a miracle that, so basically, it's Nigla, that we have this small volume of his writings that survived the war. And in it, he describes very openly, very personally, some of his own spiritual struggles and his spiritual journeys. And he writes in Os Tes, Nefesh ha'odam oheves lisragish. It's the nature, it's human nature, that our soul craves excitement. People want to feel that something exciting is happening in their life. That's a basic human need. Chok v'tzorach ha'nefeshi. He says this is something that every human soul, any person who's alive, wants to feel alive. We want to feel something. We want to feel that our life is energized and has meaning and purpose. And therefore, he says, Lachein. Rakeish hamashlim chuka zos ba'avoda. A person who fills it, again, with meaningful Torah and mitzvos and tefillah. A person who fills that void in his life with spiritual content. Uveis rakshus ha'torah va'tefillah shomer nafsho. Such a person will be guarded. But God forbid if we don't fill that void with something, he describes it as, again, as a chok and a tzorach ha-nefesh. It's as much a need as a person's need to eat and to sleep and to do any other mundane thing. And therefore, if we don't fill it in a meaningful way, unfortunately the opposite is going to happen. If we're not proactive in making this world a meaningful place, then unfortunately the aretz is going to get the better of us. But to malei haaretz osam. And now I come back to the words of Rabbeinu. And I want to put it in the context of this morning's beautiful program. To see generations of Jews coming together, parents, grandparents, students, coming together to learn Torah together in the context of a yeshiva, dafka in a yeshiva. Rav Hutner went on, speaking to those bachim, I think it was in the 1960s, this address. And Rav Hutner said, the Torah describes in two places a building process, the construction of something. We have the construction of the Mishkan, the very detailed description of the construction of the Mishkan that we find in the Sefer Shemos, and then we find Noach building his Teva. And Rav Hutner, in a way that only Rav Hutner could do, paints a beautiful picture. How these two buildings, the structure of the Teva and the structure of the Mishkan, parallel the structure of a yeshiva. A yeshiva is meant to be like a Mishkan, or a yeshiva is meant to be like a Teva, or maybe a yeshiva is meant to be a little of both. Rav Hutner described to these bachrim, he said, in the olden days, in the good old days, when life was simpler, when it was easier not to ensure that v'tamalei ha'aretz osam doesn't happen to us, that the world doesn't impose its values upon us, when the world was smaller and a person lived in his small community, we didn't have exposure to such a large world. And this already Rav Hutner was saying in the 1960s, you can imagine what he would say about the world today. Rav Hutner says, the yeshivas of old were like a Mishkan. What was the Mishkan? The Mishkan was a spiritual bias, a place of connection where a person can relate to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to bring a karban, to come and to connect, to choose proactively to come to a makom of Kedusha, and to draw on one's relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu from that place. That's a Mishkan. But Rav Hutner turned to these bachur, and he said, nowadays, the yeshiva is no longer like a Mishkan. Maybe it's also like a Mishkan. But more than anything else, the yeshiva is like a Teva. When the world around us is turning into a mamba, when the world around us, the values of the world around us are so complicated and so confusing, and so often don't align with our Torah values, when the Jewish people, who are often the victims of the world, are being accused of being the aggressor, we have to come into the safety net of the Teva. We have to come into the yeshiva, a place of shelter, and a place of protection for Klal Yisrael. To remind ourselves what we stand for. To remind ourselves the values that we live by, the Torah values that we live by. There's a beautiful lashon, the Medrash, the Tana Debe Eliyahu has a lashon, that if you see that Yisurim Ba'am Alav, if a person sees that he's suffering from difficult afflictions, where should he turn? Where should he run? The lashon of the Medrash says he should be Boreach, he should run into the base of Medrash. It's the safest place in the world in many respects. To come to a place, to come into Hashem's house, to come into the Teva, so to speak, where we can shield ourselves from some of the harmful influences. Not everything in the world is harmful, obviously, but many of the influences of the world can be damaging and destructive to a person who's trying to align his heart and his mind with the values of the Torah. Come into the Teva. Come into the safe haven of the yeshiva. I always find it so ironic and so interesting. When the Gemara describes, we all know the end of the story. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is running from the Romans. They're seeking, he spoke out against the Romans, spoke the truth. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is being pursued. And we know the end of the story, he spends many years in that cave where he's alone with his son learning Torah. But we forget the first part of the story in the Gemara Shabbos. The Gemara first says that when the Romans were seeking Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's head, they were searching for him. They wanted to harm him. Where did he go? The Gemara says, Tashu Bei Midrashim. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai went and he hid in the base Medrash. It's a funny place for a person who spent every day in the base Medrash to hide if he doesn't want to be caught by the Romans. And yet Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai on some level understood that the safest place for a Jew in a time of need is to come to the base Medrash. When life is complicated, when the world around us, says Rav Hutner, is a mamba, we have to construct for ourselves a teva, a place where we can encounter a Kadosh Baruch Hu to protect ourselves and to make sure that our values are in the proper place. And everyone knows it in the time of struggle. Everyone knows it. Unfortunately, we've seen it throughout Jewish history in very tragic ways. That in some of the most trying times, a person all of a sudden feels a pull towards Torah, towards tefillah, towards more mitzvot, towards greater achdus in Klal Yisrael. It's unfortunate that that has to come about from the suffering of the Jewish people. But every single person, no matter how religious they are, on a regular day, in a time of difficulty, we all know that the safest place to be, the place where we want to draw our inspiration from is the Beis Medrash, is the Mishkan, is the Teva. Tell you an amazing story. Rabbi Akiva Eiger was once sitting in his base medrash, And all of a sudden, he heard a commotion outside, and he comes out of his private study, walks out into the main base medrash, and he sees there's a woman standing there, speaking to some of the Talmidei Yeshiva, and she's crying bitter tears, and she's screaming, and the Bacham are yelling back at her, and Rabbi Akiva says, "What's going on here?" And he recognizes that this woman is the wife of a well-known maskil, of a certain very anti-religious individual who had poked fun at him and many of the Bnei Yeshiva for years. And now this woman standing in the base medrash, she turns to Rabbi Akiva Eiger and she says, "Please, I'm begging you. My husband's not well. I need you to daven and to learn on behalf of my husband that he should have a refuah, that he should be well again." And the Bnei Yeshiva turn to Rabbi Akiva Eiger and they say, "The chutzpah of this woman, her husband, who ridicules us, who tells us that this is old-fashioned, that these are values that no longer apply, who always pokes fun at the Bnei Yeshiva, and now, in a time of need, she wants us to daven for her husband. You know, we're not interested in saving the life of her husband." And Rabbi Akiva Eiger, with his great depth, again, of spirit, and his brilliant mind in Torah, says to the Bnei Yeshiva, "She's correct. We have to daven for her husband." And you know what the source is? It's a Mishnah in Maseches Kehilim. Perek Yud Zayin, Mishnah Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Zayin, Mishnah Yud Gimel, Maseches Kehilim, such fakias. So the Bacham go, they didn't know, they opened up the Mishnahis, they take a look, and what does it say in Maseches Kehilim? The Mishnah describes, again in the nitty-gritty details of Maseches Kehilim, of Tumah, of Tara, the Mishnah describes, Kol Shebayam Tahor. Any creature of the sea is Tahor. The flesh, if I want to create a kli, if I want to create a vessel out of the flesh of a fish, out of the skin of a fish, that vessel is not susceptible to tumah. Says the Mishnah, says Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, if I'm not mistaken, Kol Shebiyam Tahor, every creature of the sea is Tahor, Chutz Mikelev Hamayim. Except for the Kelev Hamayim. What exactly the Kelev Hamayim is a discussion amongst the Mepharshim, but it's some type of creature that lives sometimes in the sea, sometimes on land. I'm sure we can picture such a creature. Why is that creature considered a land animal? Because that creature, when it's in danger, it runs onto dry land. And therefore it's treated as a land animal. So says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, what do you see from this Mishnah? How do you determine, how do you assess who a person really is, what something really is? You look where they go in a time of danger. This creature, which is sometimes in the water and sometimes on the land, it's halachically defined by where it goes in a time of danger. And therefore, this woman and her husband, they may not be overly fond of us on a regular day. But in the Eis Sarah, they know that the safest place to be, the place that they want to be, the merits that they want are from the Bnei Yeshiva who are going to daven and learn from. They came into our Mishkan, into our Teva, because now there's a mabul in their life, and they need somewhere safe to go. But Shlomo Zalman Orbach once explained, why is the Yeshiva called the Yeshiva? Why is the Yeshiva called the Yeshiva? So you say Yeshiva is called the Yeshiva because you sit. You sit over the Gemara and you sit and you learn. And you sit for many hours. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, the more a person is osik in Yeshiva, the more wisdom he has. So you think Yeshiva means to sit. But Shlomo Zalman Orbach points out that until the times of Rabban Gamliel, Torah was studied while one was standing. It was only in the later generations that people actually would sit when engaged in learning Torah. And the truth is, as far as how far back the yeshivas go, the Gemara says in Yom HaChavches, that from the times of the Avos, there was never a time period where there weren't yeshivos in Klal Yisrael. So yeshiva can't mean a place where people sit. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoting the Sefer Shalmei Moed as explaining, why is the yeshiva called the yeshiva? Because a yeshiva gives yishuv hadas to the world. A yeshiva gives stability to the world. It gives all, when there's so many questions, the yeshiva comes to miyashiv the questions, comes to answer up the questions of the world. The yeshiva creates balance in the world. The yeshiva creates a world that Hashem desires, when the world outside is sometimes not exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind. That's why yeshiva is called the yeshiva. And therefore, when we come and we invest in a yeshiva, when we spend time learning in the yeshiva, we're giving stability to the world. We're creating harmony, we're creating balance in a world that again is sometimes crumbling around us. There's an interesting Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos. The Gemara describes, and ask yourself what you would have done in this situation. The Gemara describes Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinai, Havikozol the Beirav. Rabbi Chanina bar Chachinai was on his way back to Yeshiva, he was heading to Yeshiva. When did this take place? The Gemara tells us, Bishilhi Hilulei Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. It was at the end of the wedding of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Shimon ben Yochai was a friend, a contemporary, he's Tanayim. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai got married. One of his fellow Tanayim, Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinai, was invited to the wedding, and afterwards he was heading back to Yeshiva. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai turns to his friend, and he says to him, "Listen, Amrle, Yaakev li adasi b'hadach. just wait for me to finish Shavuot Brachos, and I'll come with you. We'll be chavrusis. Rav Moshe Aaron Stern was mashkiach in Kamenitz. When he would comment on this Gemara, he used to say, think about the opportunity here. He's being offered, Michaida Bar Chachinai, who was certainly no slouch in learning in his own right, was offered the opportunity. Rav Shmuel Yochai says, just wait for me. We'll go to yeshiva together. We'll learn together. We'll learn b'chavrusa. First Seder, second Seder, we'll be partners in yeshiva. Just wait for me a week and we'll go together. No, what did Rabbi Chanina do? Moshe Aaron Stern says, imagine, the Chazon Ish says to him, invited to the Chazon Ish's wedding. Invited to the Brisker Rav's wedding. Invited to any great Torah personality's wedding. He's your friend and he says, come, we'll go to yeshiva together. Obviously, he didn't just want to travel with him. He was offering to be his chavrusa. And you say, no, thank you. I can't stick around. What's the pshat of this Gemara? It's difficult to understand. Apparently, what you see from this Gemara is that the moments in yeshiva, another day in yeshiva, is more precious than even having the best chavrus in the world. Because there's something just about being in the environment of the yeshiva. There's something about breathing the air of the Mishkan, of the Teva, that's so healing in a broken world. And Rabbi Chanina Baruch Hachinai said, I can't even wait a day. If you look at the Maharam Shif in the back of the Gemara, in his comment on that Gemara, in Ksuba Samach Bezim and Bez, Maharam Shif says, Yesh Liros Lechora Ma'esh Mianubizah. Maharam Shif says, we need to think, what's the Gemara trying to teach us? Rav Moshe Aaron Stern said, apparently to the Maharam Shif it's obvious, it's not even a question. Another day in yeshiva, even if it means giving up a very good chavrusa, because there's something that can only be gained when the Torah is studied in yeshiva. And again, we're having that opportunity today to sit together, to learn together, to take advantage of life in the yeshiva. And I'll up the ante even one step further on this Gemara. I once heard a comment from Rav Asher Weiss, who explained in this Gemara, Rabbi Chanina Bar Chachinai, of all people, to travel to yeshiva by yourself, to not wait for your contemporary Yeshiva Bar Yochai? Rabbi Chanina Bar Chachinai is the one in Pirkei Avos who tells us that Hamahalech B'derech Yechidi, a person who travels alone, Harezim Ischayev B'Nafsho, it's very dangerous. He's giving up the chavrus of a lifetime. He's traveling alone, something that he was very sensitive about, and yet he felt that being in yeshiva for one more day was an opportunity that's not to be missed. Because as Rabbi Yochanan told us earlier, in defense of that person who spent one day in yeshiva, who traveled 3 months to spend one day in yeshiva, whether you spend one day in yeshiva or you spend the whole year in yeshiva, a person, ki'ilu, has spent the entire year in yeshiva. Because if you make the yeshiva your home, if you make that your home base, that becomes your reality. Everybody here, Baruch Hashem, we try to educate in our homes, we try to create a spiritual environment, we try to make sure that our homes are also a Mishkan and a Teva from a complicated world. And yet at the same time, there's something again that's unique about the opportunity to learn in a yeshiva. This year in yeshiva, we're learning Maseches Sanhedrin, both in the college, both in the high school. It's a great opportunity, like Rabbi Taub said, to have the opportunity to learn the same Maseches, to interact in the same Batei Medrash. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kof Hei Amud Beis, describes to us what Bilam HaRasha wanted to do to Klal Yisrael. If you look at the brachos that Bilam actually gives Klal Yisrael, we see from his negative words what he wanted to do to Klal Yisrael. Everyone turned into a bracha. The words of Bilam, eventually, many of them turned back into klalos. But you can see that even when Bilam was speaking positively towards Klal Yisrael, his intentions were just the opposite. One of the brachos that we find in Parshas Balak is Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov. How beautiful, how goodly are your tents, Yaakov. Which is a reference to Batei Knesios or Batei Midrashos. A reference to our yeshivas. Which means that Bilam wanted to speak against our yeshivas. That was his intention. He was forced to turn it into a bracha. What exactly did he want to say against the yeshivas? Bilam was very clever. He never said things in a simple way. So if you look in the Darash Moshe from Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Moshe Feinstein says what Bilam's intention was to say to a person, it's enough to just learn at home. It's enough to make sure that my home is the type of place that it's a makum of hashras hashchina. It's a place where Hashem's presence is found. And Baruch Hashem, many of us are very successful at doing that. But what Bilam is trying to undermine was that unique experience that can only be achieved when a person comes to yeshiva. No matter how much you learn at home, no matter how spiritually healthy our homes are, there's something unique that can only take place in a yeshiva. To be a ben yeshiva, to be a ben Torah, that only happens in yeshiva. The Sfarim explained, what does it mean to be a ben Torah? The same way that a ben, a child, is created by parents, a ben yeshiva is created by the yeshiva. That the yeshiva is constantly recreating us, is making us into the type of person that we want to be. Like Rosh Hashanah Zalman Arbach told us, that Hashem had a picture of what the world was supposed to look like, and the yeshiva gives yishuv to the olam, it settles the world. It gives purpose to the world, it gives structure to the world. In this coming week's parsha, Avraham Avinu is going around, he's being Makariv the world, as a nefesh asher asu b'chara. Avram's tent is traveling yeshiva. He was making souls. He was recreating people. He was restoring them to the values that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to have. And again, no matter how much a person learns outside the yeshiva, there's a certain unique connection that can only be forged in the yeshiva. To become a ben yeshiva. To be born from the yeshiva. To be created by the yeshiva. That's a unique opportunity that only takes place in the yeshiva. Someone once came to the Kotzker Rebbe and was very proud of his accomplishments. He had studied all of Shas. And he says to the Rebbe, "Rebbe, I want to just let you know, I went through all of Shas." And the Kotzker Rebbe was known for his very fiery comments, his very sharp wit. Says back to him, "But how much of Shas went through you? How much did the Torah that you learned mold you? Are you a ben Torah? Are you a byproduct of the Torah? Do you see the Torah as being creative, as responsible for creating you into the person that you are? Do the Torah's values shape the decisions that you make in your life? To be a ben yeshiva means to be created by the yeshiva. And therefore, again, if it's for a single day, if it's the only opportunity you have to come and join us in our yeshiva, for many of the parents, the grandparents who joined us today, or if it's something that will hopefully become so exciting that you come back time and time again, to realize the chashivas, how special it is to be even a bar be'rav d'chad yom, to be a ben yeshiva for a single day, to come and to draw from the air and the safety and the pleasure that can be achieved only in the context of the Mishkan, of the Teva, which the yeshiva creates for each and every one of us. I want to just conclude with a story that is a bracha and a challenge to everyone in the room, myself included, to all the Rebbeim, to all the Talmidim, to all the parents. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, one of the great Torah personalities of pre-state Israel, passed away in the 1930s, one of the leading Torah personalities in Yerushalayim at that time. He was once approached by an individual who was creating a yeshiva, and he wanted a letter of haskama, he wanted a recommendation letter from the great Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. And Rav Zonnenfeld was happy to help him, and he said, "I just have one question for you. I have a single question for you. Can you tell me, do you believe that your yeshiva will have the ability to produce Mashiach? Do you think that one of your Talmidim will one day be Mashiach?" The fellow was, needless to say, caught off guard, a little taken aback. He never thought of it like that. He said, "I don't know, I'm not sure." So Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld said, "Then I'm not sure that I can give you a letter of recommendation. Because if you don't believe that what you're doing in yeshiva, and if you don't believe in your Talmidim enough, and if you're not bringing in the right Rebbeim who believe that they can play an active, a very real role in bringing Mashiach to this world, then I'm not sure that this is really the type of yeshiva that I want to sign off on." And at the time he quoted the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Kuf Yud Tesam Advis, where the Gemara darshins on the Pasuk, "Al tigu b'mishichai, don't you dare touch my Mashiach," as a reference to young men studying yeshiva. That's Mashiach. And if you don't believe that your yeshiva is going to be responsible for the arrival of Mashiach, if the students in yeshiva, and this is the challenge to the students, if you don't feel that coming to this yeshiva is going to mold you into the type of person who will be Mashiach, or at least help in bringing Mashiach, of bringing Yishuv to the world, and the yeshiva to restore the world to the way it's supposed to be, then you're not fully doing your part. And if the yeshiva doesn't believe in itself, its own message, and its own vision, to be able to create a Torah environment that can play a role in bringing Mashiach, then again, that yeshiva is not doing its part. And if the parents are not investing in the yeshiva, in every sense of investing in the yeshiva, by sending your students to the yeshiva, by believing in the yeshiva, by partnering with the Rebbeim to create this beautiful makom, this beautiful teva, if that's not going to lead to Mashiach's arrival, which we so desperately need in the world today, then again, we're not doing our part. We have to try to believe in the chashivas of the yeshiva, in the special quality of Torah that can only be studied in the context of yeshiva. So Mir Tzashem, I give us all a bracha. I hope that we can rise to that challenge. As a yeshiva, we can rise to that very daunting challenge that Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was a given in the creation of a yeshiva, to believe that a yeshiva can and will play a critical role in bringing Mashiach to this world. And Mir Tzashem, we should be zochah that from amongst this illustrious yeshiva, one of the other great yeshivas of Klal Yisrael, we should see Mashiach come speedily in our day, and in Eretz Hashem, the world will be restored to the type of world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind when He created the world long ago. I hope everyone enjoys their wonderful day in Yishuv. Thank you very much.